Get updated with the hottest news in insurance, finance, and the newest innovation in insurtech and fintech in these difficult times. Hear it from one of the most known and respected voices in the industry, Dr. Robin Kiera, and his guest of today.
Guys, this is Insurance and Finance Live with a very special episode because today we're going to have a sneak preview on something new in the insurance space. But let's talk about our guests first. We have Roger Pivarelli, the heart and mind, or co-heart and co-mind of the DIA Insurance Conference. We are severely missing you guys.
Thank you for having us, Robin. No, you know, like soon we'll have another one of those exciting events, but in the meantime, we got something different.
Very cool. I can't wait for that one. But let's go to Alexander first. Thank you for being here, Alexander. Alexander Brown, who is, like, I think the coolest insurance professor on the planet. We can't, I mean, insurance and coolness, I mean, you know. So, yeah, thank you very much. And you're working at the University of St. Gallen, which is pretty known around the world, I think. So you have both teamed up for something special. What have you been up to and what does that have to do with education?
Roger,
Should I go first?
So we came up with a pretty exciting idea, actually, when we met in September last year. Roger was around in St. Gallen for an executive education course. We have him as a regular guest speaker here, and we had dinner, and, you know, often good ideas develop over dinner. So what we came up with was the idea of a joint online executive education program focused on insurance innovation. Since Roger and the DIA community are, you know, focusing on that topic and I'm focusing on the topic from the academic side, we thought it might be a good idea to team up.
Roger, you are known, you and Reggie, of course, and the whole team of DIA are known for awesome events in Europe, Munich, Amsterdam, really, really cool events with also groundbreaking keynotes and workshops and drinks. How did you came about now going into, like, the online digital executive education program world?
Well, you know, like for all of us, the world has kind of changed over the last 2 years, and basically our mission has always been to connect insurtech leaders with insurance executives to accelerate innovation in insurance. Of course, those conferences played a pivotal role in establishing that. But ever since the outbreak, we decided to also use our platforms that we already have in place for that same purpose. So the community website that we have, DIA TV, which is now like a Netflix kind of channel with all sorts of videos that get people inspired. And of course, you know, like when Alexander and myself met in September last year, we were also thinking of, okay, you know, like we see that insurers are really at the brink of looking at a totally new, different future with all those new data streams and with all those new advanced analytics technologies that that come into play. That we thought, okay, what is the current status? We noticed that, you know, like there. This really needed a leap in terms of getting new knowledge on board and making sure that everyone is starting to move in this space. So that's why we decided to do that.
So when I sign up for that course, by the way, am I even target audience? So who should sign up for that class and what can they expect?
Well,
you want to go for it?
So should I? I can take it. So yeah, what we thought is a very broad target audience would be nice. So we start with, you know, senior executives, people who deal with insurance on a strategic level in the industry, but also other agents of change in the insurance industry, in insurance companies that you know, work on innovation projects in their everyday business, people from outside the industry, but with close ties to insurance, let's say consultants, for example, that do a lot of work with the insurance industry on innovation, and, you know, many more people who have interest in the topic of data science and innovation, but might have a more traditional business profile and want to stack up on their knowledge when it comes to data analysis and particularly the strategic implications of data. I think that's something we should stress. So it's not a course that teaches you particularly hands-on data analytics in the sense of coding or anything like it. It's more the idea is to tease out as much of the potential as possible that you can have based on data, new data streams, technology, and particularly the business model around that. I think that's key. So we want to discuss a lot about how to build a successful business around data.
What I would like to discuss with the audience right now is actually how to build a successful live show. One super important part is you guys out there watching. So do not hesitate to, you know, comment, share, like. We see that you watch on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Periscope, and all of our own channels. But please like, share, and comment and show the algorithms that you love this show. Roger, you wanted to add something to Alexander's...
I think that what Alexander explained is it's really a business course rather than a data course. You know, like that's one important takeaway that we want to get across. And so many people are on key positions to really set the stage for the future of their insurance company. And so we really want to have those on board. So think of C-1. In mid-size domestic carriers, it will be sea level. Those are the kind of people that already registered, actually, and that we think benefit most from what we have in our program.
Roger, Alexander, I'm probably going to shock you right now, but I actually, I don't know how, got a overview about your agenda. So your module titles, what you're going to plan in this course. Am I actually allowed to talk about what kind of practitioners you actually have in this class? So not only you have an academic host who is actually, you know, coordinating the academic level, and you have people, practitioners from super famous names. I also see some former keynote speakers from DIA. They're probably an accident. So can you share some names, or will we have problems with either?
Oh, not whatsoever. I think that, you know, like what you're pointing at is really the key differentiator from our program, because obviously we looked into what all the competitors, all the other business schools have on the shelf. And we noticed that, there's not even one course that deals with innovation in insurance. Yeah. And in particular, with regard to data, well, nothing is out there anyway. And what we also noticed that, in fact, the combination with what the St. Gallen University Institute of Insurance Economics and DIA can offer is that combination between academic rigor, but also practitioners. And that's basically also what helps the people who will participate to really learn from the leaders, because basically those are the kind of people that we selected for the program.
But okay, Alexander, Roger is too modest to do some name dropping. I mean, I give you now the chance to do, because I see some pretty famous names that are tough cookies to get for anything. So, Alexander, do you want to share some names from Asia, from Europe, from Holland, and the reinsurance, direct insurers, startups, blockchain? I see a lot of cool topics there. Do you want to share a little bit of something there?
Yeah, of course. I'd start with Roger Pavarelli, who is on the program, of course, as well. But no, I'm just kidding. So famous names. We have Jonathan Larson from Ping An, for example. We have Jeff Chrysler from JP Morgan. We have Hannah Karna from Google. We have Adrian Lebec from Zhongan, and many, many more, very famous and highly qualified, high caliber experts, very experienced speakers from the industry. And as Roger already said, we pair that with high profile speakers from the University of St. Gallen, where we also have, you know, top notch researchers, academics in their specific fields. We have Oliver Gassmann, for example, who published the famous Business Model Navigator. Very, very impactful book in general management. That is one of the most recent theories that really shaped management from an academic perspective. We have Christian Hildebrand, who is an expert in data-driven marketing. Obviously, I'm going to teach quite a few of the modules from the academic side as well. And we have Joseph Celaya from IE Business School, who's going to talk about ecosystems. So we have a very, very good mix of high-profile academics and practitioners. And I think, as Roger said, this combination is what we think makes the course so powerful, because you get both sides, right? You get cutting-edge theoretical and academic input, thought leadership from that side, but then also people who deal with this every day and who have been through many of those processes and successfully implemented innovation projects in their companies.
And we actually asked them to really share their secrets and to really also their learnings, the things that went wrong. Yeah. And the nice thing is that they will not only do lectures, but they will also engage with the participants in the course. So as a part of each lecture, we've reserved ample time to go into direct discussions with those thought leaders. And that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be a lot of fun.
Mike already had left here a comment. Lots of success with the new format. I think that's we agree with that. But I think what super cool is, like with DIA or other sort of events, is the networking. So is it possible to network with the particular practitioners, like the stars? You, I don't know how you got them, but you got them for that program. But is it also possible to network amongst each other? And how does it look like in times during pandemic?
You want to take that one, Alexander?
I can, yeah. So we can, I'll pass you the ball along the way. So we thought about that very carefully, actually, because we wanted to create an online experience that basically bridges that gap. You know, how do you do that? You teach online, but you still want to have the networking aspect, and you still want to have an interaction between the speakers and the participants. And so what we do is we have on Tuesday every week, we have the input, let's say, interactive lecture consisting of an academic and a more practitioner-oriented part, with exchange possibilities, Q&A, so that you directly get in touch with the speakers. And then the networking will specifically take place on a second occasion each week, where the participants are assigned to groups to discuss their key takeaways from the course, the key learnings, go through the actual content again, but also have the opportunity to talk to each other and network with industry peers.
But that sounds like a lot of work. I think you said this course aims at C level, C minus one, 1.5. Most of the time, that are jobs, responsibilities that do not allow a lot of side hobbies. So how much time does that course take?
Well, in total, it'll take you like 3 hours a week. That is the 2 hours on Tuesday and the 1 hour on Thursday. And we scheduled it quite conveniently. So from 5 to 7 in the evening, so after business hours on Tuesday, and just before dinner, or even before the next championship, the Champions League game.
Oh, I'm fan from Hammock Sports Club. I don't know what Champions League is.
And on Thursday, it's 1 hour. So we thought to really design it at convenient time slots, but also to totally, because we totally agree with what you mentioned, especially at that level, people are already quite busy. Yeah. So we want to make it very intense in terms of knowledge transfer and the whole experience, but also to make it something that people can do alongside their job. Mm-hmm.
All right, there's one question I think the audience is going to ask themselves now, and maybe we're not friends after this question, but how much does that fun experience cost, actually?
I think we're going to be great friends, and we're probably for everyone, because we also, of course, price this at a level that is attractive to many, and that is €2,500 per seat. Yeah. Which allows really, to have access to those leaders for just more people within the company than usually. So we see also that companies have already registered with like 5 or 6 persons, one team. Cool. And you know, like, because of, obviously, you know, like, this is an experience that they could, that could also be helpful to create the plans for next year or the year after. And yeah, if you go through that journey together, that of course helps a lot. So we also created some special arrangement for to accommodate those kind of teams. But 2,500. So what can you do for it, right?
That's true. That's true. But for everybody who didn't read that between the lines, if you come in bulks of 5, 10, or 15, Roger will make you a special group ticket. That's a good one. And by the way, if you say you heard this on my show, I get a free drink at Next DIA. So don't forget to say that. Just kidding.
More than a free drink.
A free drink.
I think that's, again, it's super exciting, exciting to talk about this new format. Again, world-class leaders, world-class speakers, experts let me look at it from McKinsey, Ping An, Google, JP Morgan, is that Fris, our friends from Fris, EY, Zhong An, Ping An, Rush, do you say Rush in English?
Yeah, we also invited speakers from outside the industry, yeah, because, you know, like, especially from adjacent industries, mm-hmm, they, whatever happens there has such a big impact on the insurance world. So we have Big Pharma, you know, like, they determine basically what happens in health. We invited also a speaker from Lyft, the ride hailing service from the US, because what we see there, you know, like, the gig economy, the platform economy, is going to so much determine what's going to take place in the future of insurance as well. So, and the new opportunities, from all those data streams, from all those riders, you know, like, there's so much you can do there.
Okay, we talk now about the course, and that's super cool, but I would love to talk about something different, because when you try to win all these, you know, world-class leaders to join the course, on the side of the participants and the side of the speakers, my question to you is, what kind of, you know, you are the pulse, both of you are the pulse of insurance industry. What kind of trends and things you have seen lately in the industry, maybe your top three things you saw in the last 6 months? Alexander, do you want to maybe start from your academic view?
Yeah, I guess one really interesting trend that we are starting to observe, or which has started to emerge in the last, let's say, 2 years or maybe 1.5 years, is more intensive collaborations between incumbents and, you know, firms from other industries. So what we see, for example, IPTQ, which has Swiss Re in the background, and IKEA launching this, you know, very interesting idea of an, you know, household insurance through the, you know, at the point of sale, if you want, in IKEA stores, and models like that, you know, really where now insurance incumbents are starting to think outside the box and are taking this cooperation collaboration idea to the next level. So that, I think that's one very interesting development, which you know, has been more recent, I would say.
Yeah, I think that, you know, like, customer behavior changed significantly, especially because of the last period. It really accelerated the number of trends that were already going on. They shifted into a higher gear. So the importance of health is something that people are really taking seriously now. What we also see is the changes in mobility, the changes in that people working at home, and they will continue to do that to a certain extent for sure. And, you know, like, that'll be important. We also see, especially, I think, Alexander, you've done quite some research in that as well, that InsurTech has become mature, mm-hmm, and has gone to is now becoming to a next stage. The kind of corporations that we see there is showing a preference for more mature InsurTechs.
Yeah.
And we also see that on the investor side, you know, like, investors also show a lot of appetite for InsurTech. There's sufficient funding available, mm-hmm, but we also see that the preference is for a bit more larger scale and put their money there. So, you know, like, from all those different angles, also combined with those new data streams and those new advanced analytics, we see that what we called, there's something like a perfect storm taking place.
Yeah, what I see two things currently happening. One is that we had already before the pandemic insurers doing a great job modernizing, asking the hard questions, doing the unpopular things, really oftentimes led by young or young-minded leaders. Going the hard way, and suddenly the pandemic hit, and you know they have record-breaking new numbers in life insurance, where others are bleeding crazy. And so you have finally that hard work and doing the right thing gets rewarded. Currently, I see that in a lot of numbers. Yeah. Actually, do you see that too?
Yeah, absolutely. What I would add is what we also see. In quite a bit of the firms is really courageous moves in terms of business model innovation. So I can't talk about the specific companies because we obviously talk with them off the record, but they're very interesting examples where incumbents, also not necessarily the biggest insurance companies out there, smaller and mid-sized companies, are making bold moves to position themselves going forward with, let's say, business models that are not just an incremental innovation, but really, further away from what you would expect when you start in the classical insurance industry. So I think there will be quite a few examples, coming to fruition in the next years where these executives are really courageous and make those moves. So I think that's a really interesting development that we're seeing there.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. There are so many around, and fortunately, we also have a few in the program. So now that will be cool.
Yeah, but I think what's so great about it, when we started to talk about InsurTech and insurance 5 or 7 years ago, it feels like 1,000 years ago because we had a pandemic in between. But I think insurers, you had the faster, the slower. I think they had more or less in the same bracket. But now you have some that are accelerated, not only from their, PR and communication, but actually from their IT infrastructure that's hybrid cloud scalable, and others that are still, you will laugh. I recently had a talk with an IT CTO, and we talked about all the crazy things about AI, for example, can do in claims management. And he said, can you explain me how we can apply this in a paper-based claim process? oh my God. It's not funny because it's thousands of jobs depending on such things. Mm-hmm. But we see the difference.
I think that you're addressing a right point because that's still, of course, an issue. I had sort of the similar discussion, I think was just before the corona hit us. And a back of the envelope calculation learned that 90% of all claims that were all done via paper could be replaced by technology. Mm-hmm. But then the question was, okay, what are we going to do with all those people? Huh? That's really also a societal problem, of course, that we at some point need to solve.
Yeah, that's true. But on the other hand, you cannot let young people start that career.
It's such a waste, and it also leads to imperfections in the process, inefficiency, long waiting hours, and things like that. So, it needs to be solved, and the technology is there, so why not use it?
And I think part of the problem is something we looked at actually last year, also in the study, is the skill gap that we have in the industry, right? So, what you're talking about, if you have a lot of paper-based processes and non-digital value chain. And you have the potential, the people, the talent that is related to that classical business, then you need a major shift going forward, not just in terms of digitizing your value chain, but also getting the right people and the right talent and the skills that you need. Because if you fast forward 5 or 10 years, people who work in insurance companies will need to have a completely different, or many of them will need to have a completely different skill profile.
I mean, we see this in projects right now where we have insurers that do behind the scenes the right steps, and sometimes you go into departments and you know exactly they want to do the right thing. And I'm like, I'm not sure if you are going to be, if you're even capable of doing that, you mm-hmm. know, with your work. I mean, maybe there's a place, but we need, you need, yep. I don't know. It's if you would ask me to participate in the Olympics, that's not going to happen. You know, I can run, but you know, I'm not selected to go to Tokyo. And I think that's something we see that's happening more and more. And a second thing I see, and I would like to discuss that with you, is it's a trend towards life assistance, so that we as insurers are not only going to, I don't know, there when there's a claim and asking for a signature when somebody buys a policy, but actually to, you know, increase touch points to clients with life topics, health, but also other topics. Do you see definitely. That and how do you see that?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, like what we the consumer trends that I just mentioned, we also see them reflect in the use of data and the use of wearables, the use of IoT. And also the fact that this new generation of customers also asks insurers for a new generation of products and services. And that is really all about assisting them throughout their daily lives, basically. Yeah? Because these appliances helps them to really assist them also throughout the day. And we also see a number of examples, you know, like, for instance, take Vitality. What Generali has embraced in France and in Germany, and I think also in Switzerland, you know, those kind of programs. Decadu is doing similar things with Irish Life, and that's in health. We also see similar trends taking place in automotive, especially Unipol in Italy is really by far the leader in that area. They already got like 10 million clients connected cars, and using that to really create awesome new kind of services, which are not core insurance products, but all sorts of services that help people to enjoy their mobility much better. And basically, that's of course the whole idea. That's solving the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what I see also is I love the skill gap. I wrote it down. I'm going to steal that phrase. Thank you, Alexander. But I also see a content gap. So I've become here in Germany a TikTok star by accident. So we have no access to a lot of young people. And what I'm surprised at that they're super interested in boring topics like finance, health, insurance, how to buy a budget, and all these super boring things. They're super interested in. So I think it's a big opportunity for insurance to actually go into that content gap. But I also saw that in your program, there's a bank insurance part. So I think that's also a hot topic. And one thing that this, you know, show shows me, there's not a lack of, there's no gap actually in, you know, the need for great content, for talking about insurance trends, topics with experts. I would love to continue this for a long time, but I don't want to get into the marriage gap with me. Or with so let's call it a day. Thank you very much, Alexander, Roger. And if you would need to describe your course in like 5 words, Alexander, maybe you want to start first. How would you describe it?
A unique combination of academic rigor and practical use cases.
Wow. And Roger, anything to add?
It's the next level of insurance innovation. And why is it called the next level? Is because if you're an innovator, if you're leading a company, you can never stop learning. You need to step up the plate and continue to innovate yourself as well. So join the course.
Those were 5 sentences, not 5 words.
Good. Nothing to add. Awesome. And thank you very much. And everybody out there, thank you for watching. Michael, Raul, and the rest. Don't worry to share like this thing even when you watch it after the fact. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.